I want to talk about the peace process and not the,
like
the real peace process. And the idea of you should just know that there's a big peace process. And if you're following, yes. Oh, we're going to learn in for the Rufo Shleima up.
Ayala Yarden Shoshana Bat Dafna.
Amen. Shoshana Rufo Shleima. Successful surgery. What is it today?
We're just having a big case today.
Okay. So is the idea? So I mean, there's a general debate. I mean, we can talk about this, but is it our value of ours to say first and foremost we really would like to work out our differences peacefully, as opposed to saying no, Bakoa, this is ours, and we'll take what's ours. And also once we ask that question, then we'll ask: is it relevant? Is what we learned in the Chumash relevant for today's times, or is that then, and there's something different between then and now? Because you can make that argument as well. A Parashat Chukat is chock full of different stories. It starts with the Parah Adumah, then it goes to the very, very famous story of Mei Meriva, then there's a story of Edom, and then in the end of the Parashat, there's all the things with the snakes which we've done. But today we're going to do a very interesting story about Sichon, the interaction with the nation of Sichon, which is towards the end of the Parsha, in Perek Kaf Aleph, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, it starts. Kaf Aleph, Kaf Aleph. Okay, 21. I'm going to read it, and as is our custom, we will try to understand what exactly is going on, and we're going to compare it both to an earlier event in the Parsha, and also to the way the story is described later on in Parsha Dvarim. It's described twice, and we're going to see more and more that there's contrast between the different versions of the story. Okay? So the Jewish people are on their way to the land of Eretz Canaan. Anybody know where Sichon is? We're in Pasuk Chavaleh. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim El Sichon Melech HaEmori Lemor. Sichon Melech HaEmori. Anybody know where that is? Where is that? Where are the Amorites?
Where
they live? Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right, doesn't it? Og Melech HaBashan. See if I can find it on the map.
Sichon Melech
Amon, Moab, Edom.
So you should do Shear and Moab.
Edom.
Bashan is up in the north.
Up in the north? Damesek?
It was excellent.
Bashan is up on the where?
Amon, Moab, Edom. Here we are.
This is the Bashan, okay. And here is Amon.
But they didn't win. They went to Sichon Melech Edom. So they have to go. Very good. They have to go. Basically, they had to go around Edom. They went around Edom. Okay, so they went through Amon. And now they want to go this way, right? They want to go right here, where Yericho is, across, and to get in.
Why are they doing that?
You have to find me a better one. They have to get there. Come on, how do you get there? They have to go around Edom. That was the rule. They had to go around Edom, because Edom was the land promised to Yaakov. Yaakov is Edom. So they went around the long way. Esav, thank you. Esav and Edom, they went the long way. And so now they have to go through, cut across, in order to get to Eretz Canaan. Okay? So Moshe sends a message, he sends messengers to Sichon Melech Amori. Chafet. E'ebra be'artzecha. Mind if I pass through? Lo nite besadeh uvekerim, lo nishne me be'er. We will not go into your fields.
Any of your food.
We won't drink maybe air, any of your water. B'derech ha-melech nelech ad asher na'avor gvulecha. We will travel on the king's road. Right. We'll take the highways. Okay, would you mind if we could travel through?
Are they still getting that water from Hashem at this point?
Ah, very good. What does that mean, lo nishtem maybe air? So one Midrash says, lo nishtem maybe air. We won't drink your well water. Because according to the Midrash, who needs your well water? Right? The Midrash says, "Einanu tzichim lechol mishal chaklu." We don't need you. Why? Oh, is it clear? Where is Sichon? Moab is here. Ah, Sichon. Okay, Sichon. This Sichon is right towards the top of Yam HaMelach. That's quite helpful. Okay, and they need to go right through because where they're going to go to Yericho.
Azer connected.
Right? Mitzvah Yericho is like here. You come down from Yerushalayim, you're coming down towards the Yam HaMelech, this big road, right around here, and Yericho is right down here, and they're coming through on the other side. So they need to cut right across through the land of Sichon in order to get to where they want to go.
I always say, don't ask if you don't want to hear the answer.
If you're not
willing to accept the answer of of no, or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what
but, if then, wait, to them? But then it's definite war.
They have to, you have to really go through it, it's a foreign country.
Unless you're going to war with someone.
Then you're definitely going to end up in a big...
I'm just saying...
What's your problem?
I'm just saying, is there a plan B?
What is plan B?
The war?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going. We're going.
Okay, we'll try a peaceful attempt at a bed.
We'll try to say please, and if that doesn't work, then sticks and stones. Correct. Then whatever. Okay? I mean, we're going. We have to go. But so that the question is, why did Moshe say please? Should Moshe have said please? We're going anyway. What? Yes. He did that. Evor, but he said Evor.
We are planning to pass through. He's informing them of his plans. He didn't say please. He later he says please, but
Velonatan Sichon earlier he says please. Velonatan Sichon et Israel Avor Bigvulo. Vayesov Sichon et Kol Amo. Sichon gathered his own nation. Vayetze v'krat Yisrael ha-midbara. Vayavo yatza v'yilachem Yisrael. So Sichon was like...
Would you let the entire Syrian army pass through on their way to Egypt?
Well, remember that?
Vishesh,
right.
If they promise they won't touch anything?
Correct. Correct. Would you? Would anybody?
No.
You gotta be nuts. Right, exactly. You know, no, well, we won't
and
do anything.
Everything.
And their
planes, and their everything.
Depends on your reputation.
And
then
big clouds.
Big clouds.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah. Right. Well, you know, what can they do? Sure, right, what can they do? Just traveling with all their bombs, right. Okay, so they came. So the question you really have to ask then is, you ask such a ridiculous question, what's the point of asking the question? This isn't the... Is that what you're saying? So what is the point?
I'm just saying, is it a question? Is it a statement? Is it a threat?
Very good, okay. Very good. Pasuk Chaf Dalid, we're going to have different opinions, of course. Vayakehu Yisrael, so they attack. Vayilachem Yisrael, they attack Yisrael. Vayakehu Yisrael lefi charef. And of course, we speak the snot out of them. Vayirash et arzo me'arnon ad yabok ad b'neim Amon, ki az gvul b'nei Amon. You know, so they totally conquer the entire nation. They decimate their army and conquer their entire land, all of them.
But they had no intention of taking this land.
Well, do they have an intention of taking them? It's an interesting question. We're going to talk about that as well. So let's go back for a second. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim. So the first thing we have to do is compare this text to the way that it's described in Parshat Dvarim. In Parshat Dvarim, in Pasuk Perek Bet, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Moshe says the following. If you have it, you guys have Dvarim, you only have Bamidbar. Right? It can make it a little tricky to follow along. You know what? It's worth it to follow along.
Just so happens
that
a couple of copies of, like, you know,
Tanakh.
Okay?
Cool. Open up to Dvarim, Perek Bet.
Yeah, we do have it.
just have them four lying around, so it's okay. Dvarim, Perek Bet, Pasuk, Kaf Dalet. Because the contrast is important.
Dvarim, Perek Bet.
Pasuk, Kaf Dalet.
Dvarim, what?
Perek Bet.
Kaf Dalet.
What had happened to Moab? What was their interaction with Moab? Did they walk through Moab? I don't remember.
I don't remember right this second. I'm in the middle of Dvarim. Okay, Moshe, God's in the middle of talking to Moshe and telling him the following. Kaf Dalet, everybody see it? Bet Kaf Dalet. Kumu Si'u V'ivru et Nachal Arnon. Go pass over Nachal Arnon. Re'e. Natati biyadcha et Sichon melech Heshbon ha'emori et arzo. Hachel Rash. I have given him into your hands. Hachel. Begin. Rash. From what word? La Reshet. La Reshet et Arzo means to conquer, to drive out. La Hachel Rash. The Hadgar Bo Milchama. And incite him in war. Hayom Hazeh Achel Teit Bachtecha B'Yiratcha Et Pnei Ha'amim Tachat Kol HaShamayim. Today, I will place fear of your fear under the sky. Asher Yishma'un Shim Acha B'Ragzu V'Chalu Mipanecha. They will hear about you and they will tremble. And what did I do? I sent Divrei Shalom. Ebra be'artzecha. So I said, did he say please? He didn't say please. Divrei Shalom. Moshe said, I sent Divrei Shalom.
He didn't say please.
Rabbi Artzecha, Biderech Amelech Elderech Elech, Biderech Biderech Elech, Lo Asur Yamin Small, Chafei, Ochel Bakesef, Tashbi Reini, Beachalti. May I please, I will buy food from you, Beachalti, Umayim Bakesef, Titeni Vishatiti, Rak Ebra Biraglai. I would just like to walk through. Kasher Asuli Bene Esab, Yoshim Beseir, Bahamu Avim, Yoshim Ba'ar. Like the Edomim did in Seir, like the children of Esau did in Seir, and Moab in Eretz Ar, Ad Asher Avor Tayarden El Aretz Asher Hashem Elokeinu Notein Lanu. Until we're able to just get to the place that the Lord our God has given us. Would you mind? Okay, you should be screaming at me now. Just in the text itself. What's the most? Forget the differences. Before you start anything, what's the most obvious problem? What's the most obvious problem? Right, why? Why are you asking?
Because it had already been told that one's been delivered.
And more, what else did God say to him?
Make war.
What did Moshe say?
That's first I heard it.
Yes. Right, that's the first question.
But it just sounds like...
Smoke what?
Obama Netanyahu.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Do we get
what's the
Nothing changes.
Explain what you mean.
Obama comes to Israel, has a meeting with Netanyahu.
Right.
But then he's like big mates with the Arabs and like meets with all of them and says, well, we asked Israel nicely.
I'm not clear about who's who and what, you know, who's Edom, who's Sichon, who's whatever, yeah?
I think you don't want to be perceived as the aggressor.
Yeah. What if they say yes? Yes. Here's the question. So you could say, one could suggest, which I think is plausible, very plausible, that Moshe's entreaty of peace is a bluff. And he doesn't really want peace. The only problem then is, what do you do? Like you said, don't ask the question if you don't want the answer. That's when you say don't ask the question if you don't want the answer. If you want to make war, make war. The big question is, God said... Hachel Rash, Hatgar, Hidgarbo Milchama. It's pretty clear. Says the Ribon Shel Olam, fight. And Moshe says, before we fight, can't we make nice? Can't we all just get along? Like maybe they'll let us go through. Why don't I ask? And he does. And they say no, of course. But how could Moshe, this is a question that all of Midrashim in our Parsha, ask.
Moshe explicitly... violate the command.
It's a divine command and comes along Moshe and says, you know, I think I'll do it my way.
But that's not Netanyahu. He's not saying that he's
Oh, you'll get a little bit plus a little bit. What do you mean you can't get them in? That's Arafat because he says I can't beat them. But we can. We will win. We know we're gonna win. Right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu says we're gonna win. So why is Moshe doing what he's doing? Oh, so you think that Moshe is wrong?
Yes.
It's a mistake. He should not have sued for peace.
It's the same as when we should have wiped out the whole of Ammon, but we didn't. We didn't do it too much
rationally. Okay, I haven't seen that approach saying that Moshe made a mistake. Okay, I haven't seen that. It's very interesting.
Did he say he made a mistake?
What?
The Torah doesn't say he made a mistake.
Well, the Torah doesn't say he made a mistake. I haven't seen that approach in the Mefreshim that say he's wrong. I haven't seen that. Let's read some of them. What? Well, that should bother you as well. There's something else that should bother you about the sons of Esau. Look what it says. Kasher asuli b'nei Esau. Hayoshrim b'seir. Just like the people, the children of Esau have done for me. What did the children of Esau do for them? Anybody know? So now, in order to get the full picture, we need to... We need to understand in order to see what did the people of Edom do for us? Okay? We're kissing up to just like Yaakov did? You mean like Maaseh Avos Siman Lebanim? Hold your place in Bamidbar. Put down the Dvarim for a second. Hold your place in Bamidbar. Turn back. Turn to Perek Kaf Pasuk Yud Dalet. Chapter 20, verse 14. In Bamidbar. In our parsha. In Bamidbar. Bamidbar. Hold your place in Bamidbar. Don't lose it. Now we're going to be in three places.
Kaf
Yud Dalet.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Everybody have it? Kaf Yud Aleph. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. Sends to the people of Edom. Ko Amar Achicha Yisrael. It sounds nicer. So says your brother Israel. Ataya Data Et Kol Atla'a Asher Metza'atnu. You know how hard it's been for us. Vayudu Avotenu Mitzrayma Vanesha B'Mitzrayim Yamin Rabim Vayareu Lanu Mitzrayim La'avotenu. We had a hard time. Vanitzak El Hashem Vayishma Kolenu Vayishlach Malach Vayotzi'enu Mimitzrayim. And we got out. V'hineh anachnu b'kadesh ir k'sei gvulecha. V'hineh, what do you know? We're here. Hey, I'd like to say hello. Na'abra na'be'artzecha. By the way, what's the key word here? Thank you. Na, thank you. Right. With, please, can we go through your land? Lo na'avor b'sadeh v'kerem v'lo nishten me'be'er. Derech ha'melech le'nech no nitel yamin u'smol adash na'abor gvulecha. Isn't it fascinating that these two episodes appear in one parsha, in one sort of, you know, like very much, you know, one after the other in succession. Okay? And so, of course, remember what Moshe said. Moshe says, he said to Sichon, can you do for us like Edom did for us? Remember? Remember we saw that in Dvarim? Kasher asa Edom?
Yeah.
What does Edom do for us? Pasuk Yurche. Vayomer elav Edom, lo ta'avor bi pen becher ve'tzedi kratecha. No way. Vayomer elav b'nei Yisrael b'mesilana ala, please, we'll go on the road. V'imei mecha nishtayni mitzvei v'natati mikram. We'll buy it. We'll buy the water. Right, Rakein Davar Biraglaya Avra. In Davar, not a big deal, please, not a big deal. Kaf, Vayomer Lo Ta'avor. No way. Vayetei Adom Likrato Be'am Kaved Ubiyad Chazaka. They amass, ready for war. Vayema'ein Adom Metonit Yisrael Avor Bigvulo, Vayet Yisrael Me'alav. And what do the Jewish people do? What do they do? Why did they go the other way? Why didn't they fight? Anybody know why they didn't fight? The Bnei Yisrael, they go and they go around.
Because they can.
No.
I have
a Hashem, it's not that Hashem didn't tell them to fight. Hashem told them not to fight. It's clear in Devarim that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al titgar ba milchama. You don't fight with Edom. Esav is your brother, your Yaakov, they're Esav, you don't fight. If they want to let you through, great. If they don't want to let you through, go around. And they do go around. And that's the whole thing that causes the Bnei Israel to be upset. Why are we going around again and again? And how come the da-da-da? And then they saw the snakes come, and then the Nachash Nechoshet, so the copper serpent. That precipitates the whole event. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Very briefly, they start going around. And the Jewish people start to complain. Why are we going around? We should go through. We can fight them. We can beat them. This is the new generation. So they're complaining about the fact that they're not fighting. And Moshe says, Hashem said to go around, and you don't believe. So they are attacked by this plague of snakes. They start being bitten by snakes. So they say, please save us. So Moshe says to Aaron, make a copper snake, put it on a stick. Whoever looks at the snake will be saved. We've done this in years past. Yeah, that's the snake of the medical association, right? The snake that saves, the serpent that saves. Okay, and is it the serpent? No, because you look up to Hashem, etc., etc. Okay, the Ayin Sham. So, but they went to Edom. Moshe said, "Went to Edom." He said, "Please." He said the magic word, Abra Na. And what did Edom say? No. And so what did they do? Okay, we'll go around. What in the world is Moshe? So
wait a minute.
Look back in Dvarim. Look back in Dvarim. Pasuk Kaftet.
I think it's a threat.
Kasuk Kafchet. Ochel b'kesef tishbireni, v'achalti mayim b'kesef titenli, v'shatiti. I'm in back in Dvarim. Right there. Pasuk Kaftet, there's a lot. Kasher asuli b'nei Esav, ha'yoshvim b'seir. Just like the b'nei Esav did for me. Now you read that and you go, what? Yeah, really? That, they did that for you? I didn't know what they did for you. And if, now look at.
But they would know that they didn't kill them.
They wouldn't know, right? Would they know that they didn't, that they let, that the, would Sihon know that the B'nai Edom didn't let them go through?
Yes.
Of course they would know. Of course they would know.
Rumors.
Like,
rumors.
What? Would they know if a major war happened on their borders? Would they know? Would they hear about international wars happening on their borders? You don't think all of them knew this menacing threat was coming? They weren't all aware? Of course they were aware. They knew. They knew very well. And so it's very strange. So Rashi, by the way, I'm just going to quote you Rashi on Bamidbar, on Dvarim. He says, Ka'asher asuli. Rashi says, no, lo li'inyan la'avor et artam. It wasn't that they let us through. I didn't mean that. That's not what I meant. Ela liinyan mecher ochel umayim. But they were very happy to set up in their roadside stands and sell us food and water. That they were happy to do on the way. So at the border, they did that. So that's what Moshe meant. That's really what he meant. It's very, very, very strange. Very, very strange. Okay? So we have three problems. Well, two big problems. In our story, well, let's go back to our story in Chaf Aleph of Sichon. Moshe Rabbeinu sends a message to Sichon. First question we have to ask is, why is he sending messages? When God clearly says, go fight a war. The second question we have to ask is, there's a contradiction. In Dvarim it says.
Are we not talking about this further, about the comparison with Bnei Esav, removing beyond? Because your answer was very...
Rashi's answer was very weak?
Yeah. Given that Moabim Hayoshvim Ba'ar, the whole reason that Moabim are not allowed into Am Yisrael is because they didn't give us food. So how can he put Moab and Bnei Esav in the same...
It's all diplomacy, right? You know, no, like, we all have short memories. Our good friends, people of Edom, my good friends, the people of Moab.
But even
we
if
have
you
terrific
stretch
relationships
it,
between
but
them.
Even if you stretch it and say that Bnei Esav gave us food,
yeah.
Moab
did not give
us food.
Yeah. And they didn't want to let us go. I don't know what to tell you. Okay.
We're not dealing with
that. No, we're not going to deal with that. We're not. That, we're going to leave that as an open question for you to ask your
we'll
children at the Shabbos table.
We'll
discuss it later. Okay. So which one is it? So if it's very interesting, in Devarim it says, Va'eshlach Malachim. Who sent? It's too much back and forth. Who sent? I just want to focus on the second question. First question is, why did God said fight the war and Moshe goes to sue for peace? The second question is, here it says in Devarim, Va'eshlach Malachim Namibar. Who sent the Malachim? I did. Who's I?
Hashem.
No, it's Moshe. Moshe said, Va'eshlach Malachim. I sent. And back in our Nala, we can focus back in our Chumash. One second, let me just finish. In Chaf Aleph, who says? It says, Va'eshlach Yisrael Malachim.
Okay.
So who sent them, Israel or Moshe?
That doesn't bother me. So
that doesn't bother you so much.
Really?
You mean the blatant seeming lies bother you more?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to discuss that. That's tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. Yael had a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
The land of Edom that they wanted to pass through is not Eretz Israel.
No. Well.
The land of Sichon, yes, is.
No, it's not. It only becomes later when Beit Anakatish and Moshe ask for it.
Okay, you're asking an excellent question. What you're saying is not entirely correct.
It wasn't part of the original order.
It makes a difference.
It's not entirely correct.
But also Hashem told them to fight. So, I mean, that has some kind of mashmaut.
Edom's not Eretz Yisrael.
By the way, wait one second. Why did Hashem tell them to fight? Why did Hashem tell them to fight? What was the purpose of this fight? He says explicitly. We read it. No, they don't care about the land. He didn't say that. He said, why?
It says Yershu.
Achel take tachtacha v'yiracha al pnei ha'amim tachat kol ha'shamayim. They should be scared. We want the people in Canaan to hear about how you beat the snot out of Eretz Sichon and Og. By the way, what do we know about Og? What do we know about Og Melech HaBashan? He's a giant. He's powerful. You beat the most powerful nations, so that when time comes to conquer Eretz Canaan, they're just going to be like, here you go. No problem. Vayirash et Arzo. Where are you?
Vayirash et Arzo.
Where? Here. Which is here? We're in like eight places. Which is here?
Kaf Aleph,
Kaf Dalet. Vayke Yisrael, Lefichar, Vayirash et Arzo. Right, you did. Only when...
But we don't care about that.
One second. Moshe, only after Moshe asked, please, to go through. What would have happened? This is what Shira said at the very beginning. Don't ask a question if you don't want the answer. The question they asked is, can we please go through? What answer do they seemingly not want?
What answer do they not want?
Yeah. They don't want yes.
They're getting it anyway. It's not this, because you conquered them, you get extra.
I'm unclear. I don't understand. You're saying this part of Eretz Canaan.
Yeah. They're going to get it anyway, now or later.
When are they going to get it?
No, the only way they get any part of Eretz Canaan is if they conquer it. That's the whole problem with
that's the whole point. If they're going to get it, it makes a difference between their relationship with Sichon and their relationship with Edom.
Meaning, because they're not getting Edom's land anyway, so why rock the boat? But they are.
I'm a little unclear. I'm a little unclear.
Yael,
I'm a little unclear. Can you say your question again? I don't really understand.
If it's not your land, is not our land, you ask permission to go through. They say, no, you don't.
Right.
If it's going to be our land anyway, okay, perhaps you don't have to ask permission to go through, but
because Hashem said fat, but the way you behave with the one nation.
Wait, who determines whether it's your land or not? What determines whether it's going to be your land?
Hashem determines the gvul of
Eretz Canaan. Ah, really? What determines the gvul of Eretz Canaan? The gvul of Eretz Israel? What?
Conquered land.
Right. What determines whether it's part of Eretz Canaan? What determines whether it's part of Eretz Israel is whether you take it. It's so interesting. I guess it's, hopefully it's the very end. What determines? You're going on the assumption. I know, but she doesn't. She can't. I can chat her down today. But you know. Okay. You're looking at it from a very metaphysical point of view. If God said it's going to happen. If God said you can have it, it's yours. So it's almost a done deal. So what's the difference whether they conquer it or not?
That's our current argument. Hashem gave us the land. It's not yours. Go away. If you say we only get the land if we conquer it, then it's a different story.
Free
then maybe it isn't that. Maybe Gaza really isn't ours. You kind of have both ways.
You absolutely can have it both ways. I don't agree. I strongly disagree. God says, I mean, it's very interesting. If you look in the end of Bamidbar, where are the borders? How many borders are there? How many lists of borders are there? If you ever study it. Many. Yeah, there's many lists of borders. There's borders. There's many different descriptions of the borders that go all the way from tiny country to unbelievably huge, encompassing from the Sinai Desert all the way up through Iraq. So which is Eretz Canaan? Which is Eretz Israel? What?
What they've conquered most recently.
No.
With the Lord comes to Abraham.
That's where we base all our arguments on why we get the land.
But
we're
not going to get it.
If you're only going to get it by conquering it and by war, then all those people who go, the Americans who conquered them, the people who conquered America, all the Spanish and everything, and then
Well, the Americans did conquer America and they didn't give it back.
No, they didn't give it back.
That's the way it always works. You conquer it becomes yours. That's exactly how it works.
The Australians with the Aborigines and everything.
Did they give it back to the Aborigines? Now they just pretend to be guilty about it, but they're not guilty about it.
That's not the argument. The argument is if you get land by conquering it, then we don't have a leg to stand on to say that we get the land because Hashem gave it to us.
Ah, I see what you're saying. There's a one second.
There is
an element. See, what I wanted to say is when I say you can have a cake and eat it too, you have it both ways. We do believe that there's a divine inheritance, that God gave us this land. But God didn't give it to us and say, oh, here it is on the silver platter. God gave it to us and said, you must conquer it. You have to earn it. You have to fight for it. And that which you conquer will become yours. And that which you won't become yours. I can't tell you what will be in the end of days and how it will be. Will it be our land in the end? Yes. How will we get it? I don't know.
So
I believe in the land of Gerar
Israel, okay.
But I know. What?
You mean that way? You mean the same?
Absolutely. What's that? I didn't say no. I did not say no. I wouldn't be the person to say no. It's not from my. First of all, that's not my call. Would I do it?
Because
I don't think I would do it.
Then it's mutatable.
What?
It's mutatable. If you can only get it by conquering it, and they're stronger than us, oh well, then they get the land. End of story. We go. Come on.
Correct. It's clear. Just look at halacha. Halacha determines that which I said is correct. Meaning there's a question of what determines in halachic perspective kedushat ha'aretz. For this very simple purposes of I'm growing pomegranates in front. Do I have to take off trumot and masor or not? Okay, so then there were two kedushot. There's the original kedusha of kibush rishon, and there's the second kedusha of bayit sheni. Right, and the halal, there's a big machlok in the Gemara about kicha l'sha'ata, and is it kicha l'sha'ata? It was a kadosh then, but below the atid lavo, or kicha l'sha'ata ula atid lavo, or was there a permanent kedusha to it? And to the best of my understanding, it's a very complicated, very involved sugya, but it boils down to the way we paskin is the second kibush was kicha l'sha'ata ula atid lavo, the second conquering in the times of Ezra, not in the times of Yehoshua. What was the difference between Ezra and Yehoshua? Because in Yehoshua's time, it was only a military conquest. In the times of Ezra, they also settled those areas. It was areas where the Jews settled and lived. That's where it became, ultimately, Kedushat Ha'aretz. So there is such a thing as permanent Kedushat Ha'aretz, but it depends upon the things that we do. So you should say, what's the difference? Isn't Kedushat dependent on what God gives us? Whatever God gives us, that's Kadosh, and whatever He doesn't give us isn't Kadosh. But it's not that. It's some combination of the two. God says, this is for you, this is your land, go take it. And that which you take has Kedushah. And that which you don't take, does not yet have Kedusha. Which I think is a very powerful idea. It's not just divine. There's a partnership here. It's a partnership between us. And now you're going to make me mention, okay, the Midrash that I was going to save until the end. Okay? Look at the very end. It says, one second, it says, Vayakehu Yisrael. One second, Vayakehu Yisrael and Pasuk Chavdalen. So the Midrash says the following. Midrash in this blue chumash that I have. Katuv echad. It's back in Bamidbar. Back in Bamidbar. Kei Yisrael and pasuk kaftale, perakaf aleph kaftale. We're back in our sichon story. I'm just going to read the Midrash. It says, Katuv echad omer Yisrael hikum. One pasuk says that the Jewish people smote them. Shneamar vayakehu Yisrael. The Katuv echad omer Moshe hikam. And one pasuk says Moshe did it. It says acharei hakoto etzichon the Moshe Rabbeinu in Barim. Umihikam, so who did it? Did Moshe smite the Sichons? Or did the Jewish people do it? Havei Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Didn't God do it? Like, who's doing the smiting? Is it us, or is it the Ribon Shalolam? Anybody see echoes of this machloket? In today's day and age, who really defends the Jewish people? Who's really in charge of our self-defense? Is it Tzahal, or is it the spiritual defense of the Jewish people? Right, that's the argument. Which one is it? Is it Achrei HaKoto Moshe? Is it Vayakehu Yisrael? Or is it Lemakei Melachim Gdolim, that the Ribono Shel Olam does it above? Which one is it? Lelam Decha, to teach us, the Midrash says, Shehayinu Beguma HaTachtona, we're in the bottom, we do it down here, V'hu Omed Lanu. And he does it above. Shneamar Shebishbilenu Zachar Lanu Kile Olam Chastel. We believe that it's some combination of the two. That it's a partnership, kavi yachol, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have to do our part, but we don't think that we could do it alone. And that's the idea that we're talking about here. Would it have been theirs anyway? No, it would not have been theirs anyway. Would it have been theirs if God wasn't fighting for them? Of course not as well. But only because of Vayakehu Yisrael does that then become part of Eretz Canaan at that time. Good answer? Acceptable? It's sophisticated. It's complicated. It's not a simple thing.
I still think there's a slight nuance. It's one thing to say you have to do your hishadlos, okay? But zemagiyalecha, okay?
I don't agree with that nuance. I think that's too much. That's too much to the. It's only in God's hands.
No, you have to do your hishadlos, and Hashem will do His. But the thing is, if you do that, this is what you get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people is undisputable.
Correct.
Part of
well, people dispute it, but we it's correct. It's our inheritance. What do I mean? It's our inheritance to inherit. But until we inherit it, then what? Where is it? Who holds on to it?
Free-for-all.
Right? It's a free-for-all. It's in some unnamed bank account held by some company. You know what I'm saying? We have to inherit it. It's up to us to inherit. It depends on us in order to build it. Because without that, it doesn't have the Kedusha. The land doesn't have Kedusha. Now, whether that connects to giving back land.
Only until we live in the land being free. Only in the swamps and desert.
Right? Correct. The land waits for us. It waits for us.
For us to bring the Kedusha.
Okay. I was going to get there at the end, but I'm glad we touched on that. We're back to our first two questions that we haven't even gotten to. What's that again? Yeah, ding, ding, ding. Can you like do it on your iPhone? I would like to know. But, you know, yes. If they would say yes. Oh, you think? Whoa, one second. Can you say yes, walk through, and attack?
No.
No. You lose your credibility for the future.
So what?
If you
become
so what?
Become the conniving Jews.
That's not Hashem's way.
I wouldn't do that. You know why I wouldn't do that? I think that's a chil Hashem.
Yeah.
The one thing Bnei Yisrael can't do is chil Hashem. We can fight. We can conquer. We can beat the snot out of them. We can destroy it. What? What's the fact? So we're back to our original question. Which is it? Did he want peace or not? We're back to our question. Look at Rashi's answer. Pasuk Kabbalah, Rashi. There's a couple of answers. I'm going to see three. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim, u'b'makom acher toleh hashlichut b'moshe. Shneimar, as it says, Va'eshlachacha malachim b'midbar kedemot. I sent messengers. V'chein va'yishlach Moshe malachim mikadesh ha'melech adom. U'b'yiftach u'omer, later in Shoftim, va'yishlach Yisrael malachim ha'melech adom. Hakatvu k'tuvim halalu.
Yiftach brings that as part of his argument.
That he says that Moshe.
The army, he tells the whole story.
Thank you. Hakatvuim halalu tzrichim zeh. So they don't contradict. They need one each other. They tzrichim zeh. They complement each other. Zeh noel v'zeh poteach. This is one locks. This one opens. Shemoshe hu Yisrael. V'Yisrael hey Moshe. They're one and the same. Lomar shenasi hador hu kachol hador. Ki hanasi hu hakol. So did Yisrael send or Moshe send? So when Moshe sends, he's for Yisrael. That's say let the practice. Like calm down. It's not such a big deal. Okay, they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, didn't bother you. So that's not such a big deal. The second question is a bigger question. That's right.
Yeah.
The second question is a bigger question. God said fight, and Moshe said, "Can we have peace?" So what in the world is going on? So there are two midrashim that say the same thing. Amar lo. I'm reading from the midrash. One second. First midrash. Amar lo Moshe l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe says to God, "Nishlach shluchim. Hey, why don't we send messengers? Why don't we ask them to let us in?" Amar lo ani amarti hacheresh ve'adgarbo. I say, go fight. Va'ata mashalech shluchei shalom, and you're sending messengers of peace. So the midrash, the weird thing I love about the midrash is, it's like that's our question. God says one thing, so the midrash turns it into a conversation between Moshe and God. But God's like, what are you doing? I said one thing and you do the other thing? It's like, you know, parent and child. Did I just say to you not to do that? And you told me to, you know, like, yeah, so, you know, right? Amar Moshe. Moshe said, Vashlach malachim mi'midbar k'demot. There's a pasuk before, I sent malachim from midbar k'demot. V'chi yesh midbar k'demot. Is there such a place called midbar k'demot? Mimcha lamadati shekadamta lo'olamecha. I learned from you. You're a kdemot, kadamta. You came before the world. Shneamar meona lehikedem. Kishibikashta lahotziyet Yisrael mimitzayim, amarta lecha ve'eshlachacha el paro. When you wanted to get us out of Egypt, you didn't just say, bam! What did you do? Sorry. What did you do? You went to Paro and you said, please. First you asked. You always say please first. And if they don't let you, they don't let you. So it's so interesting. Guys, there's Moshe, what are you doing? And Moshe says, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm just following your lead. So then, according to that midrash, did Moshe really want peace?
No.
Really? Oh, I thought yes. Meaning God said, you asked first. If Paro said yes, then great. Paro happened, we happen to have known at that point, Paro would say no. But the way of God is, first you ask.
First you negotiate.
Second midrash says the same thing. What are you doing? Right? Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, yafe asita. Nice job. Mikan ve'elach kol ir shayusom mevakshim likanes l'tocha einan nichnasim ad shipotchin lehem divrei shalom. From now on, anytime we go to war, first we have to sue for peace. Shneemar, as it says later on in the Torah, it's a mitzvah. Ki tikav ele lilachem aleha, before you go to war, v'karata eleha l'shalom. You first must sue for peace.
Don't we learn that with the Malachim and Avraham?
Do they sue for peace?
That he first tries the peace, presence and peace.
With Abraham? You mean Yaakov? Yaakov and Esau. Oh, Abraham the king?
No, Abraham with king.
He sues for
peace? He tries to retain Sarah's assistant.
Interesting. So I'm going to read you two other midrashim. The midrash on Chumash says, which is it? Did they sue for peace or did they sue for war? Amru Rabotenu Shtei Igarot Katvu. They sent two letters. Igrat Achad Shal Shalom Ve'achad Shal Milchama. They said, here, right? Right? And then, like, the Esichon takes it and goes, shh, 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 shh. And the guy says, oh, here you go. I've got this one for you.
If you don't like that one,
I got another one for you. Okay, first they said, you know, and it's interesting. Patach patchu b'shalom. Amru Yisrael, ani shalom. V'chi adaber heima l'milchama. Meaning, it's a fascinating, interesting question. We value shalom. We don't value, even if we can win, even if we have strength, do we not prefer to live in peace?
So he's saying that if they would
And then the question then becomes, What value, if that's true, and Moshe says, first we ask, and first we try, and we'd like not to fight, there's a value in that. And how much does that inform the way we act today? And this is what I alluded to before. One could say, well, that's Sichon, that's outside of Eretz Canaan. That's passing through. We'd really not fight that fight. But when we talk about Kibush Haaretz, no. We can sue for peace first, but understand, when we sue for peace, and I would say that most people today, most people of our ilk, would say, let me finish the sentence, please.
Sue for peace, you keep saying that.
Sue for peace means you submit, we're not going to fight, you live under our rule, right? And everybody's happy. And if you say no, then we conquer you, and everybody dies, and it's very bad. Okay? So that's what they would say. This has no bearing on today, because today, when they talk about peace, what they really mean is, yeah, a piece of us. What you really mean that is, you're independent, we have no say over you, you have the right to garner armies. That was never the issue. Whereas others would say, what about this universal Jewish value of peace? If you can resolve your differences in a way that does not incite conflict, is that not a Jewish ideal?
But in that instance, there's no room for compromise, it's only do it our way or not.
In which instance?
When you're saying
sue
for peace,
yes.
You're saying you do it our way. Oh,
well, it's interesting. Look at the example. When you go to a city, this is a mitzvah. Karata eleh l'shalom. Karata eleh l'shalom doesn't mean we're happy to go home and not fight. What does karata eleh l'shalom mean? Do you want to submit without us killing all of you? Right, because we'll give you that option first.
The surrender peacefully.
Correct. By the way, and that was an innovation in war at the time. It was a huge innovation. Because until that time, if you're going to take the city, you didn't want to give them the opportunity. Because if you did, you're just asking for trouble later on. Because they'll submit, and then whatever, and then you're asking for insurrection. You're leaving them with their strength and their power. No sane power would do such a thing. Right? But the Jewish way was that way. So does the value inform us today? And I personally think it's not so clear that the answer is no. Like we said, we're a very homogeneous group. In our homogeneous group, we're much more, I would say, we're more to the right. Would that be an accurate description of our community? Yes? Well, we can't deny that there is a value here that Chazal are trying to communicate to us, I think. How much does that inform our desire to minimize conflict and to sacrifice in order to minimize conflict? Okay. Excuse me, our people in our community would say that the partition plan was a huge mistake and we should never have made that offer. We've done it. We don't, our community. Would you accept the partition plan today?
No.
Ah, you wouldn't, so you haven't done it. So it's always good to. What do you think of Netanyahu's idea of two states for two people? Ah, bah, bah, bah. Conflicted about it. That's fine. That's what I wanted to share. That's exactly what I wanted to say. I'm not clear about it at all. I'm not clear. I mean, so if you're listening to this and you're outraged, I apologize.
That now.
What?
How is it not that now?
Not what?
How is it not two states for two people like Gaza?
Gaza's fine, but you're talking about, no national autonomy. They have no national autonomy. They have autonomy within their own borders, but not to be a nation. Not to have a military, not to establish, right. There is no national autonomy. Okay?
So,
somebody could argue, not fully. Quickly, the UN they are, but I'm not going to go. Somebody could argue and say, that's the way it should be. Others could say, what do we need to do in order to resolve this conflict? Now, the debate is, if we all knew to resolve a conflict, that'd be one thing, but nobody really thinks that it will. Anyway, so those are those two midrashim. We have to stop. We have to finish with. How much time do I have?
No, I
got 5 minutes. 7 minutes.
In general, when Hashem gives a commandment to Moshe, is it detailed? Is he macromanaging or micromanaging?
According to this, he's macromanaging.
According to here,
yeah.
What about elsewhere? Like, is this the only case we see where like the details are kind of vague, and what Moshe does is a little different, or in general, or it seems like Hashem's. In general, his instructions are very specific and detailed.
Right. Unless, of course, God says, hit the rock, and Moshe talks to the rock, and God says, I said hit the rock, and therefore you're going to be punished, never going to Israel. That's pretty darn detailed. Right, that's what you mean, right?
But I guess what I'm saying is, there doesn't really seem to be so much room in general for Moshe to be creative in his It's not like, you know, here's your task, now go figure out how to do it.
Right.
I'm saying in general the tasks are very specific. And that's why I'm sort of
wondering
so
about
sure.
these midrashim.
I like the midrash. I think it's a nice idea.
But I don't know if it's pshat.
I don't know if it's pshat. I don't know if it fits with the general.
I have to add this. So what do I think the pshat is? Personally, what do I think the pshat is? God said, "Go incite a war." So you know how Moshe incites a war?
By asking for peace.
That's right. See, that's obvious.
Because you think it was understood between them.
What?
It was understood that that's
because,
what
why? Because Moshe said, first of all, he didn't
he
say
knew
please.
What they would
he didn't say.
Say
please. Why did then does it say, Moshe said, Vayishlach Moshe el Edom. Look how Moshe talked to Edom. Moshe really asked from Edom. He says, remember we learned it, the whole sob story. Oh, we had a hard time, and we're brothers, and let us through, etc. Ebrana. Please. And here, it's not Vayishlach Moshe. It's Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim. So some of our Shem say,
meaning it wasn't a personal answer.
Right. Some of our Shem say, why didn't he send to Sichon? Sichon didn't rape. You know what I'm saying? When you send low-level diplomats to the king of Sichon Melech Emori, what are you saying?
We don't really want to.
Right. See ya. Right. Can you please let us in? You know what I'm saying? Not please. We're going through. We're gonna pass through. What do you expect the person to say? He says just like Edom did. Did you think Sichon doesn't know what Edom did? What did Edom do?
Who knows?
What?
No.
What? And what happened when Edom amassed an army at their borders? What did the Jewish people do?
They went around.
Right.
So what did Moshe do?
He tricked them.
He's inviting them, just like Edom let us through. Really? Edom let you through? Let's see what happens. Yeah, let's see what happens. I think that's a shot.
And Moshe, what? In a way, it's as slimy as what Laura suggested.
We asked. Yes.
But what do you suggest?
What?
It's
not as slimy.
Then
you can't say that Moshe didn't listen, because then it all fits in very well. God said incite a war. What's the best way to incite a war? Like, you know, it's interesting. The Rashi says. Let's read a little bit. A couple of Rashi. You have to read in a couple of Rashi. Look in Rashi. Mibark demot. Rashi is a mibark demot. Rashi and Chavav. Af al pi shalot sivan. A very important Rashi. Chavav. No. Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, Yisvarim. You don't have it. Af al pi shalot sivan hamakom likor l'sichon l'shalom. Even though you didn't tell me to sue for peace. Lamadati mi midbar Sinai. Min haTorah shekadma la'olam. Why? Kishaba Kadosh Baruch Hu lina l'Israel chazar otar al Esa v'Yishmael. V'galoi lefanav shelo yekabluha. When God offered us the Torah, first he offered them to Yishmael and Esav. Even though God knew, they weren't going to take it. Nonetheless, he offered them with peace. I also sued for peace. Okay? One second. This isn't the Rashi I was looking for. There was a Rashi in Bamidbar. One second. Here we go. Vayetzei likat Yisrael. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay. V'lo natan Sichon. Why did Sichon let them through? The v'shekol ma'achei Kanan hayu ma'alin l'bo mas. Sichon collected a tax from all the kings of Canaan. Remember, the kings of Canaan were these like tribes. Sichon collected a tax. Shayash shomram shelo yavor aleim gaisot.
He was the mafia.
So Moshe went to the head of the mafia and said, can we go through? Kevan shamulo Yisrael ebra be'artzecha. When the Jewish people said, can we go through? Amar lahem. Kol atmi eini yoshiv kan ela l'shomram mipneichem. My job is to say no to everybody else. I'm the guard. Va'atem omrim kach, and you ask me such a thing? So then why do you ask? Next Rashi. Okay? Va'itza Yisrael likrato. Skip down two lines. What's that? Ilu haita cheshbon mele'a yitushim. Enko ber yechola kavsha. If the area is full of, like, yitushim, mosquitoes, you can't beat mosquitoes. They're all over the place. Rather, if they're each one in these different villages, you would never be able to beat them. What does God say? Can you imagine what a pain that would have to be to go from city to city to city to city to try to conquer all the cities? Rather, he got them all to leave their little villages, and v'nikabzu kulam l'makom echad. Let's all gather together and fight the Jewish people. Meaning, what did God do according to Rashi, according to Moshe? Sued for peace. Sichon says, no way. So what did all the Sichon do? Everybody come and fight the Jewish people. Great! Why? Get it all done in one fell swoop, and that way they don't have to go afterwards. And then when the time comes to inherit the land, brilliant. But according to that, then Moshe's suing for peace is what?
It's a ruse.
It's a ruse. It's a ploy. That's the way of fulfilling God's command. Last thing. I know you got to go. Ramban is fascinating. Look at the Ramban on this parsha. On Chav. Chav Ramban. Sorry. Chav Aleph Chafet. The Ramban is fascinating. Ramban says an entirely different time. According to Rashi, they really wanted to conquer. According to Rashi, it was all a ruse. According to the Midrash, didn't want to conquer. You really wanted peace. And they were willing to sue for peace first. That's the value of peace. Says the Ramban, okay? Ramban quotes Rashi on Chapalef. See Ramban on Chapalef? Why? Ki bechol ha'amot nistavu liftoach l'shalom chutz mi'amon ha'moav. Right? Just after Amon ha'moav, they were always commanded. Aval be'emet ma she'amar lo e'ebra be'artzecha. That which Moshe said, let me pass through. Zeh haya Moshe osea me'atzmo derech pius. Moshe initiated on his own. Ki eretz Sichon ba'og yirushatam shel Yisrael haita. The land of Sichon and Og really belonged to Yisrael. Ki le'emori haya. Sichon and Og stole it from the Emori. And we're supposed to get the land of the Emori, the Shiva Amamim. It was ours. This is what I wanted to show you at the end. V'haya min hadin she'im ya'anu shalom utpachu lahem. Okay, and if they would have answered peacefully, shahaya kol ha'ama ninsa lahem lamas v'avadum. Suing for peace means, you submit, we'll tax you, and everybody's happy. Well, you're not so happy, but we're all happy. Ava Moshe haya yodea. Ki Yisrael ata lo yichbishu kol asara amamin. Moshe knew. They couldn't conquer all the 10 nations at this time. V'haya chafetz shiyeh kol kibusha me'eber layardein v'hala. Moshe did not want them to conquer this land at this time. He wanted them, all of them, to focus on Eber HaYarden. Shiyeh Moshevam Yachad, that the Jewish people should all live together. V'shiha Eretz HaTova Asher Eretz Zavat Chalav Divash. He didn't want it. What?
The Ramban just always is clear.
Always clear. You like that, huh? He didn't want it. Moshe Rabbeinu. God said you can have it. Moshe said, thanks. It's not right. It's not right for us now. How do you know? Halo Tireh. Look. Sh'im lo bikshu mimenu b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven. If the B'nai Gad and Reuven didn't ask, lo hayam leiniach sham adam. They would have left it barren. Moshe wanted them all to go into Eretz Canaan. He wanted them all to be one nation, together, united. He didn't want the nation split up. He didn't want them separate. So he, on his own, sued for peace because he'd rather leave it alone. And what happened that they didn't? It wasn't the right time. The Nesiv adds, he says, David was punished for conquering the land of Syria, for conquering other lands before they conquered all of Eretz Canaan. Right, focus on what's on your base. Focus on your... What?
Priorities.
On the priorities first. And that's what Moshe did. Should it have been theirs? Yes. Could it have been theirs? Yes. Not now. It's not the time. Build up Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Divash first. Then worry about expanding your borders. And according to the Ramban, it is very clear. Moshe Rabbeinu got a commandment from God, and he said, thank you. Later. We'd really like to do it another way. But it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. That's not the way it ended up. They came to fight. We conquered their land. And sadly, the Jewish people decided they wanted to stay. They wanted the beautiful plains of Sichon and of an Og, as opposed to the promise of Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Divash. They were enticed by their cattle more than they were by the needs of their children. We'll stop here.